All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council's special meeting for Monday, June 3rd, 2019. We'll do the roll call. Councilmember Barker.
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Great, thank you. We're under unfinished business tonight, one item, and bear with us as we do our best to get the computer up and running here for the folks who care to watch the screen. Apparently needed some updates tonight. So Laura's going to work through that. But anyway, the unfinished business item we're discussing tonight is a discussion, decision, and update regarding the finance officer and town clerk vacancies and completion of associated functions during the recruitment and onboarding process. The finance officer vacancy closed Friday, or was advertised to close Friday, and we received no applications. The town clerk's vacancy will close this Friday, the 7th. To date, we've received no applications for that position. Since our last meeting, where you approved additional compensation to cover the tasks associated with these two positions, the key functions, it's been brought to my attention that there's some anxiety or reluctance on behalf of the council with that decision, and in fact, even accusations that somehow maybe the council felt bullied into that decision, which was not the intent. Nonetheless, I thought I'd call a special meeting, get you folks back together to give the administration some direction on how best to handle the vacancies and what vision you have for those key functions to be accomplished. Because it's a lot of work, a lot of task work and a lot of hours to go into making sure that the essential things simply get done. And with the other things that the council, you know, is moving with the interlocal agreement and other policy, something's going to have to give as far as where my time is committed. So I'd like to get a sense from the council as to where they best see that time be invested. So with that, I'll open it up for discussion from the council. Mr. Michelson.
Of course, I voted no on this because I didn't feel it was felt within the scope of the law. I've printed off documentation of Brian back when you were a GSC clerk, and also when the firefighter and the mayor issue came. And these are from Brian, which he stated that the goals of the doctrine, which simplified, means that one person cannot hold two government offices at the same time in addition to elected and appointed position. The doctrine also covers public employment, determination of what offices are incompatible or a case-by-case basis. The goals are multiple position holding to avoid concentration of public trust in a single person, preventing someone from receiving directly or indirectly any pecuniary, which is money, benefits from multiple positions, avoiding the inherent conflicts where an employee's elected position has power over the employer's superior or another position, and ensuring that the public's office holders and public employees discharge their duties with undivided loyalty. In 1914, our Supreme Court said offices are incompatible when one has a power of removal over the other, when one has, in a way, insubordinate over the other, when one has a power of supervision over the other, or when the nature of duties of two offices is such as to render it improper from consideration of public policy for one person to retain both positions. So for what I'm reading is you are following under these guidelines, and I know you mean well, but I still can't support it due to this, and also has to do with I could go into it, but Mr. Grief had Supreme Court decisions. Also, we had one with you, of course, when we removed you to fall under your fireman status because you were mayor, and of course, you can't do both of those. Also, Fire Chief Jeff Motley wanted to serve on the city council and was able to do so because a department head cannot serve on a town board. And also Montana Code Enominated 2-2-104, Rules of Conduct for Public Officers, Legislatures, and Public Employees. Proof of commission of any act enumerated in this section is proof that the actor has breached the actor's public duty. An officer, legislature, or a public employee may not, except as provided in subsection 3, a public officer, legislature, or public employee may not receive salaries from two separate public employment positions that overlap for the hours being compensated. And it's pretty clear that you're collecting a mayor's salary, also $25 an hour, and in my opinion, that would overlap the hours. I don't see how you could break those in two when you're moving all over and do these different positions. So, and got many cases of the Attorney General where different firefighters, different towns, different mayors all documented where they went against the favor of a mayor or anybody collecting multiple salaries or doing multiple positions. So I know when you said at the last meeting that you were a GSE clerk, you got many positions, but Brian here and his ruling took that away. Brian's position of general services clerk under the mayor's office is clearly incompatible given that it is subordinate to the mayor's supervision and draws dual compensation. So that was taken away from you in 2017. So last week when you said you had multiple positions, which you did for a while until it was brought up through the law. So that's where I stand on my position. I don't know how or what we're going to do as far as getting a financial officer. I know when Mr. Cruz was here between Roxanne and April, we contacted Ravelli County. They had a position available at the time, but I couldn't say that now because, of course, that's not my call to make. That's yours. You're the executive officer, and you're the one that has to make the call to find a clerk and find a treasurer. We'd be overstepping our bounds as a council if we went and started making phone calls and saying, hey, we need a treasurer. Come aboard. That's not our job as council members. That's the executive officer, which is the mayor of the town of Stephensville. Thank you.
Okay, so I think you bring up a number of interesting points, and not all of them do I disagree with. So I think that from this stage, you've raised some objections to myself completing the work that needs to be done. So using the problem-solving model, I mean, we can all agree that we have a problem. And that is, we have two vacancies. Defining that means that the work won't get done. The work of the clerk and the work of the finance officer won't get done with those positions vacant. So my response to you, Mr. Michelson, is what options do we have then to make sure the work gets done?
Well, I don't want to break the law.
Well, the first option is that I do it.
Yes.
We reviewed that, and you've determined that you don't feel that that's appropriate.
I did not at the time, no.
Okay. And so what other options do we have?
Other than you finding a treasurer and a clerk, I don't have an option because it was never within my scope of law as a council member.
Well, I'm not saying you need to go find somebody.
No.
I'm just saying how the work is, the problem isn't necessarily that we need to find somebody, it's that the work won't get done. So how are we going to get the work done if I can't do it? Now, I've advertised for the position. We'll continue to advertise, but to date, we haven't received anything. So I'm asking for solutions, not necessarily just let's hear problems. Ms. Barker.
I guess I hear you say that you advertised. Can you tell me where all you have advertised that, you know, has it been just on our Facebook page or through our website? I mean, have you gone abroad and, you know, hey, this is what we're looking for, Missoulian, the Ravelli Public. I know there's so many different options, but have you outreached to those other sources or?
So we've advertised on our website, through social media on Facebook. We've advertised through the League of Cities and Towns and the listservs. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, mine was about what Councilmember was just talking about, but maybe we need to go broader. Maybe we need to put it out. I mean, we asked you to advertise for a clerk when Audrey resigned, but we were told you weren't going to do it, and you flat out refused to. And I don't know, besides asking other places if they could temporarily let us use the clerk and or the treasurer for maybe 2 days a week just to get us by until we find somebody. But I think maybe we need to go broader in advertising instead of just on Facebook.
Mr. Michelson?
Did you advertise through MMIA?
Yes.
And Phyllis Simonson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did. And I appreciate the feedback on where to advertise, and we'll certainly implement some new strategies to recruit the position. But based on our experience so far in the last few weeks, we're not receiving a lot of response on what we are advertising. And so in between now and when someone does apply, and should they fit the position, they're hired, there's still a gap. Ms. Holcomb?
You are the mayor, so you need to be able to you need to be able to do your job. I mean, but we don't need to be paying you more because, one, by law, we can't. Yes, one of us, and that was me, changed my vote last time because you did bully us and threaten us that they were going to close down the town if we did not give you the $25 an hour. Maybe if our name, if we quit being put in the paper and making us look bad, maybe someone would apply. Maybe we need to stop the stuff that's going out in the paper and on the news, and maybe someone would apply. I mean, you keep saying we want to work together, like during your executive report at our last meeting, you talked about a hockey game, but I don't see it. Maybe we just need to start working together, and we need to stop putting stuff out in the paper. We need to stop putting stuff on the news and quit bashing your council. I mean, yes, I understand why they quit, but now let's move forward. We need to start moving forward and getting this town back in order. But it's like we keep getting these breaks, and we're not moving any further. We end up moving two steps back. I think we need to advertise broader. You are the mayor. Unfortunately, that is your job to jump in, and hopefully someone will apply. And in the meantime, we just have to ask other towns to see if we could use their clerk or treasurer until we can find someone, or at least for a couple times a week, like we had to do when the Mayor Cruz was in town. At that seat,
we didn't do that. We didn't bring anyone else in to fill the roles.
No, we didn't. But we didn't bring anybody else. We didn't bring anybody because we, by that time, we had appointed. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mr. West, could you speak to the legality of increasing the mayor's compensation?
I'm working on that right now. So what I understand, the May 23rd meeting, is the council approved an additional stipend for the mayor. $25 per hour, right? Correct?
Correct.
And subsequent to that meeting, Council President, you asked me to review the legality of additional compensation to the mayor based on your concerns based on the Title II provisions. So it's been approved. And one of the issues that I'm trying to parse is, are you compensating the mayor for the position of the mayor, or have you appointed him into the role of being the clerk? It is clear that he can't occupy the position of the town clerk while there's one provided for by the council and the mayor's office. However, if you look at both Stevesville local code and state law, it is conceivable that this town can be run with just the mayor as the executive branch. So, to answer the question, I don't have a final legal answer for the town about whether or not that stipend is a violation of the Title II provision that council president is suggesting, or if the council would be, as they've already decided to, permitted to provide an additional hourly stipend if the mayor is picking up additional duties. I wish I could be more blunt tonight, but I'm sorry it's not a quick question.
Does it help to clarify that the intent of the agenda item and how it was agendized and how the motion was structured was not to appoint the mayor into those positions, but for the mayor to complete those tasks and increase the mayor's compensation temporarily?
That's generally what I understood it to be, but I'm just not going to give a final ruling tonight saying that, yeah, I looked at it and I think it's blessed by law. I'm working on it. I'm sorry I couldn't get it done since you submitted the budget for last week. I'm trying to look at it from a number of different angles, which is whether or not the compensation is a violation of that law, the mayor being compensated for use of positions, or if it's merely compensating the executive for covering work, which in theory, if this town was just following the basic provision of the law, it would be on his plate anyway.
Ms. Bark.
I guess, and I did vote for it because I felt like I was in a situation that I was told to go, move forward with it. I do believe that he was asking for the 800 plus the 25 on top of that. And I think that's where some of it has come to a conclusion of, I don't think you can do both of those. I understand the situation that we're in, but when we have people coming up and asking what's the legality of it and not having that answer, it is very tough.
It's concerning, but I have to suggest the horses are out of the barn. Sorry about that.
But I guess maybe take one or the other. I mean, you can't have both. I mean, it's just the 800 plus the 25, and how much was our clerk actually getting paid? Because we're advertising out front there. It was from 18
to 22.
22 for the position, and we're above and beyond, $3 more than what it's advertised as. I guess I have some concerns with that when it's been brought to our attention.
The reason that, or the rationale behind the 25 was, yes, it's more than the clerk was making, and it was more than the treasurer was making, or finance officer, but neither of those two people were doing each other's jobs either. And again, this was a temporary band-aid and to get us through to getting somebody trained into those positions. And while that's I think that's a fair short term, what I fear based on the response we're getting is that this is going to be more of a long-term thing where we may not have these positions filled until mid to late August, which startles me, because that's I'm not necessarily interested in hanging on to it for that long. The last several week or a few weeks have been difficult to keep up on the workload, and that's why I'm back at the council to say, is there something that we can do to change how the work gets done? Or is there work you're willing to just say, that's just not going to happen? Ms. Barr.
I understand the position that we're in, but also everything that has been brought forward is that it's the council's fault that we're in this position, and I truly don't believe it's just the council. We had somebody sit right here last week and say that it's a sinking ship and that all three of us should resign. I'm sorry. Then what problems would we have? We'd be still sitting in a deeper problem. We have budget coming up, and I understand that we have that coming, and we can't do anything with the budget because we don't have a finance officer. But quit blaming it all on us. It's not all us, and we're hearing it.
Well, I think the problem you're referring to is that's at least addressed in state law as to how it's handled. 48-hour turnaround, and we have a new council. So that's addressed. There's no state law, there's no procedure to replace a clerk or a finance officer where there's nobody to backfill that. Mr. Michelson?
Well, I was going to say a good example of it is what you put in the packet. You put in the packet about bullying and harassment, not only by the clerk, but you use the treasurer. There's no documentation of the treasurer. Her resignation letter said due to outside influences.
Her exit interview says otherwise.
Well, unless you prove it. Here we go again, sir, of you putting in there words that we hear different on her resignation letter. So what are we supposed to leave when we believe her resignation letter, but you put in there that we're bullying and harassing her? Pull every email in there and see. And number two, you barred us from coming into this town hall. Don't say you never. You changed the codes. Brian even knows we don't come in here but twice a month. We only email April for business. There's no bullying and harassing. Pull every email. Show us. And show us where we went into that office. I haven't been in that office in almost a year. And you know it. None of us have. They work. So don't give us that we're harassing and bullying people when we're hardly ever here but twice a month to do meetings right now. But yet you keep throwing it in our face. Every other meeting's got that unfinished business. Harassing, bullying. Then it goes to the Bitterroot Star and then it's all over. And then of course, it's a wonder people don't want to move to this town. I'm just saying, Brandon, there's things that can change, and that's one of them that can change for the better. We might get a clerk and a treasurer if you just leave that out of it.
Well, I don't disagree, Bob, that's an issue and that keeps coming up. I think that the issue is that it happened, and...
You failed to do your duty.
Oh, baloney. I failed to do my duty.
Yes. Audrey Trimony's put a 3.5 month complaint in. What's the personnel policy say, Mr. Dewey? 10 days.
She didn't file a grievance. She filed a complaint for bullying and harassment.
10 days.
It wasn't a grievance. It didn't fall under the grievance policy, and we've been through that. That doesn't necessarily speak to the item we're here for tonight.
No, it doesn't. But
I'm sorry. But it does. When people are reading the paper and all they see is this, especially when the investigator that you hired came back and said there was no proof of this.
No. That is not what she said. What she said was it wasn't substantiated because the policy didn't prohibit it. She didn't say it didn't exist. She said your policy fails to prohibit bullying and harassment, and therefore the claim couldn't be substantiated based on the personnel policy.
Well, I just think that the only way we're going to move forward is if this stuff stops, because I don't come in this office. I have never sent a bad email to either one of them. So I'm not even sure where this is coming up from, but this has to stop. This has to quit. This is in the paper like every week.
I don't write the paper.
But it's your words. I brought that. I have proven that you, the words that you use in the paper does not match what actually was said at the meeting.
I don't write the paper, so the words I use in the paper, I don't understand what you're referring to. The paper has their own access to the live feed and to the audio recording on the website.
Well, this just needs, if we're going to get someone to come work for us, we need to stop this bickering. We need to move forward. We need to start working as a team, and you need to advertise it broader. And hopefully you'll quit being negative to think that we're not going to get anybody until August. We need to start being a positive team, or we're never going to move forward.
Okay, so it sounds like we've addressed that this needs to be more broadly advertised, which we're amenable to. We can easily accomplish that. How does the council want to address the issue of the workload and the compensation?
Well, I don't know what we do about the compensation until we find out if we can even do it. I mean,
what would be the difference if we embarked on a significant water project? Which we've done before. We've increased the mayor's salary to administer water projects and sewer projects. So I guess my question, what's the difference between this and, because you're not appointing me to the two positions. I am not the clerk and I am not the finance officer. And you are giving me two salaries. You're increasing my salary by $25 an hour, up to 30 hours. You are not giving, there's not two salaries. There's a base of 800 and there's $25 an hour after that.
That's two salaries.
That's
no,
two
it's
salaries.
Not. It's one salary. It's not two salaries. It's increasing the compensation to by $25 an hour, up to 30 hours. That's not two salaries. Because you've increased. You've not said, well, let's give the mayor a separate compensation of $25 an hour. You've said, let's increase his compensation by $25 an hour. So you've modified the original compensation.
I didn't see that. I didn't hear that last week. I'm sorry. We you said, excuse me, if I remember right, fellow member Holcomb asked what you wanted, and you said, I want $25 an hour. And then I asked, plus your mayoral salary, and you said, of course, I'm still the mayor.
Yes.
Just two salaries.
You guys want me to adjudicate this because you're ready to book me. You all voted it through. But I hear that there was a complete disagreement, I guess mentally, between what was intended by the words used. The mayor has not been appointed to be the clerk. That's something that he cannot do. He cannot occupy those two positions.
Right.
And so the question you've sent to me, which again, I have not fully vetted since you sent it to me on Thursday, is whether or not the additional $25 compensation for up to 30 hours per week would violate in any way the dual compensation prohibition in Title II. And so I recognize that currently the council and the mayor disagree about how those funds have been allocated, but as everybody's looking at me right now, I am not going to say either the council is correct or the mayor is correct or nobody is correct. I'm sorry, I apologize that I cannot do that.
Ms. Barber.
I guess it kind of falls back to me in thinking that Laurel had a mayor that had applied for a position. He was still working for the Public Works Department and was told he had to give up that position to become a mayor. He could not collect two different pays. I guess I see it as you're still collecting two different pays.
We can't compare this anymore to any other community who has had somebody filling a position and filling a position. I am not filling any other position besides the mayor of Stevensville. I don't know how more clear I can be.
You're doing clerical work and mayor and treasurer work.
So am I not supposed to touch the budget as the mayor? Because well, that's only that's clerical work. That's finance work. I can't touch that. I mean, does that sound realistic?
If there was a clerk on duty and a treasurer. You're supposed to work with the treasurer, of course. We know that. That's part of your mayoral duties.
Right. When there is no treasurer, what happens?
That's why we're here.
Ms. Holcomb.
Well, listening to our attorney, it sounds like since we voted for this, and until we can get a answer back on our question, it sounds like we need to continue with this until we hear back from our attorney. So that's what it sounded like to me.
Okay. Based on that feedback then, my understanding, the direction so far is to broaden the advertisement recruitment for the two positions, and include more areas and more ways to get that word out that we're advertising those, and then to maintain status quo in completing the tasks, excuse me, under the mayor.
So are these all the tasks that you are completing right now, or that you're...
No, these are other operations in addition to what the key tasks that we've selected out are. Laura, I think if you go higher up on the page.
Down.
Tell me when you're
up. I guess it is up. Other way. Other way.
So we've explained in the communication kind of who's doing what right now and in a more broad scope. But we've prioritized that the key tasks that are most critical between clerk and finance are the daily authorization of positive pay transactions, which I had no training on before April left, and we've already screwed that up. But we're fixing it. Processing of the claims. So making sure that the claims, when they come in the mail, they get entered into the system so that they're on your claims approval sheet. We process payroll, which we'll do tomorrow. We do that every 2 weeks. Then right after we pay everybody, we run their liabilities, which includes cutting checks again. Then your council agendas and packets have to be put together. And then the public notices and vacancy postings. So with the finance operations, including the positive pay transactions, the processing of claims, the processing of payroll, the liabilities, those are things that only I've been trained to do. Nobody else in the organization has the knowledge to complete those tasks without any further training. Now, that's not to say that we couldn't train somebody in an organization to do them. The problem is we've run out of people to train. Because Denise, naturally, could be trained to do that, but she's already training someone to do her job.
And she's retiring anyway.
Right, and she's leaving us. And so we're losing some institutional memory. And Brittany has her, you know, she's only part-time in the administrative office, and she has some clerical functions that she's fulfilling as well. And she is helping with processing some payments that come through the counter and those types of things. To help the rest of us kind of focus on the higher level operation. So we're handling it as best we can. I guess what bothers me is that in the background there's this fight against my compensation. And I mean, if that's going to be an issue and we're going to make a debacle out of it, well, then I'm not necessarily inclined to continue going down that road if I'm just going to be slandered for it or the rug's going to be pulled out from under me. I don't want that situation to happen. So I'm a little apprehensive to continue on with this idea that the council doesn't back me in their decision to increase compensation. Nonetheless, we've prioritized. These are the tasks that are being done. If you go back down to the list that we were earlier referring to of the operational things, those are things that we're doing in addition. Those are just regular day-to-day things that happen this time of year. We have the budget, which we're already a little behind on, but we had some work done before April left. The swimming pool opens Monday. That's a whole other piece of our operation that needs management. And we have a number of other irons in the fire that we're trying to keep things going and keep impacts to the citizens minimal, but at some point people are going to start to feel the pinch. One of those is going to be plan reviews in the zoning and building department. As people submit building plans, because we don't have a zoning administrator, those fall onto my desk to review for zoning and compliance with development code. That's a pretty in-depth process, and what we've seen is that happens to be the first thing we deprioritize, and it's unfortunate because then builders get frustrated that they don't have their plans back. Ms. Barker.
I see different things on there with the CU Street repairs, water project planning, and those type of things. I do know that I've heard some frustration from the Water Works Department too, that they're down a person, and it would be nice if they had an extra person because they feel like there's a work overload too. Maybe there's a way we can't help them out as well. I understand the situation that we have with yours, and it's not that we're trying to rebuttal against you. We're trying to find a solution, obviously. How things have come together all at one time, you know, it's been unfortunate that we had April resign, and same thing with Audrey. But we've put a pinch on even other departments too with not having enough staff. And then you're coming back saying that we don't have enough here, here, and here, because you're having to take on extra tasks as well. Maybe we should look at the broader picture as a whole.
Well, I don't know as though hiring a groundskeeper is going to help pay the bills.
But it would relieve some of these other stresses that you keep telling us that you have.
And I guess when I refer to these are more administrative level that we're managing. I've made the decision to eliminate the second seasonal position based on an evaluation of the workload of Public Works. And while Public Works doesn't seem to agree with that decision, and it puts a pinch on them, it is the decision that's been made in order to accommodate other shortfalls in the organization, specifically the police department.
Well, then why do we have a part-time position as a flower person out there when that money can be going towards that department?
It can't, because the flower person is paid from the Economic Development Fund, which is focused on downtown development, and cemetery groundskeeping wouldn't necessarily qualify as economic development. Okay, so I guess without anything further from the attorney until his response is compiled, we're maintaining status quo and advertising the position more broadly. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mayor and Council, I'll get an answer back to the town by tomorrow.
Is there anything further on the issue? Okay, then we'll wrap up that agenda item and move on to public comment. Opportunity to comment under anything under the town's jurisdiction or on the agenda tonight. Please step to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Please, 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 please make sure you sign the sign-in sheet if you plan to speak. Any public comment? Okay. One just note, the vacant council position for Ward 2 closed today at 5 o'clock. No applications were received. So I'll place that on a subsequent agenda for you folks to consider how to proceed next. If there's nothing further, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to adjourn the meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.